It's day 40, and you're standing behind a rock, listening to a conversation between a young boy and one of the other soldiers that are with you. You can't hear them very well, but you can hear them arguing a little bit. And the young boy disappears for a while and goes into the tent of the king, and you wonder what's transpiring there. It's been 40 days. And every day starts out the same and ends the same. Starts out with threats and ends up with threats. But nothing ever happens. Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. I don't think there was a man in that army that didn't dream about killing Goliath. If he was any kind of a man at all, he'd have dreamt about killing Goliath. Nobody did it, actually, for 40 days, but they dreamed about it. And so they knew every one of them could have been a prophet. They could prophesy exactly what was going to happen. It was a routine. When the sunlight came out, sun rose above the thing. When the Philistine got done with his bacon and eggs, he came out and stood the giant. And said the same thing every day. You send a man, I'll win, you'll be my servant. So that was after 40 days, they say if you do something for 28 days, it's what? A habit. So 40 days, it's a habit. There's habitual reaction to the giant. And so on that 40th day, when David left the tent of Saul and ran, the scripture says in 1 Samuel 17 that David ran. David hurried and ran in verse 48 toward the army to meet the Philistine. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought many times the same person that's dreaming goes, oh no, we are going to be a servant of the Philistines. Here's the guy, after 40 days, we picked this little guy in a shepherd's cloak. And what the heck has he got in his hand? A little sling. What's he, a kid? Here we got swords and spears and knives. And I mean, for that instant, for however long it took him to run from where he was to where the Philistine stood, how many know there was a lot of doubt and unbelief? Oh, and I'm sure there's not a man that was there that didn't say we lost. We did it. We've taken the challenge and now we send this little... What was Saul thinking? Saul sends this little 14-year-old punk, this little guy, I don't know how old he is, but he couldn't be more than 12 years old. He's got a red face. He's running like an idiot to his own death. And then you see this little 14-year-old boy reach into his sack that he has on his side and he puts the stone in the sling. And he starts rolling his sling around a little bit, getting a little practice going on. And he's shouting something to the giant. He says, I'm going to feed you and all the rest of Philistine carcasses to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Meanwhile, he's swinging his thing around. You're going, just get it over with, Ulrich. Why don't you kill this punk? And what happens? He lets go the sling. The stone finds its place in the giant's forehead. And all of a sudden, the giant fell. Now, you can't tell me that there wasn't a shout of triumph coming from those soldiers. You cannot tell me. And if they might have waited, because when the giant fell, he wasn't dead yet. He was dead, but he wasn't dead. And for David to prove it, because there was thousands of soldiers there, and not everybody got a front row seat to that battle. So he went over and took the giant's sword, which was a big task. It was like a weaver's beam. Took the sword and cut his head off and lifted the head. You can't tell me there wasn't a soldier there that wasn't shouting and screaming and praising the God of Israel. I submit to you that's right where we're at today. We've been hiding behind rocks. The devil has challenged us time and time again. We get a little bit of inertia going and move towards the battle, and then we hide again. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is doing some mighty things right now. If you read between the lines. Today's Give Him 15, back up what I'm saying. Dutch says, what does it look like when God starts to establish His throne on a mountain of societal influence? It shakes. Cracks start to show up in the foundation. Some people of influence in that mountain start to fall off of it, and others seem insecure. Yet others dig in and become defensive, mocking, even aggressive. When you see these signs, press in and pray even more passionately, because you are about to see a radical societal change. The praying church is rising and God is answering, and hell is shaking loose from the media mountain as God enthrones Himself on it. And it shall come to pass in the last days, listen to this scripture, Isaiah 2:2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, plural, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And I submit to you the Holy Spirit is swinging that sling around, getting ready to throw the rock of the power of God against the forehead of he who thinks he rules. And I decree that the mountain of the Lord's house shall sit upon the media mountain, and God will be exalted over the media. So, Father, we agree tonight. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that's filling our brothers and sisters, filling us, challenging us. Lord, we're coming on the Feast of Pentecost. This Sunday we'll celebrate the birth of the church. God, let us not forget, Father, the roots of which we are called as Pentecostals. Lord, the roots by which we're called to see signs, wonders, miracles that would happen throughout the body of Christ, throughout the streets, Lord. What's happening in Dallas and other areas would spread throughout the nation, God, and that the rock of anointing would find the forehead of our enemy and take him out, Lord. And the sword of the Spirit, your very word, God, would behead the enemy, Father. Take his power away. Take his headship away from the false church. Take his headship away from the false government. Take his headship away from media, Father. Lord, that there might be a rush towards victory by your church. God, we pray, we intercede tonight. We pray, O God, for the mighty move of your Spirit, God. Behold the victory, God, that our eyes, no matter where we're at or what we're doing, Father, we would behold with our own eyes the victory that's coming, Lord. In the name of Jesus, that we would get the upper hand and keep the upper hand by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Holding the head. I didn't think about that. Yeah, the head of Trump in her hand. Anybody see that picture? Yeah. FBI, yeah. Yeah, if that would have happened with our last president, they'd have already had them in jail. I wanted to share with you tonight briefly. I'm not going to hold you very long tonight, because I really want you to pray for Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a celebration of Pentecost. It's the birthday of the church. I really feel like there's a special visitation of God that He wants to bring to us. And I had plans for Sunday to start a series, and God told me not to make too many plans. So I'm gonna obey that. And I want to talk tonight about Pentecost. And if you'd like to take a few notes, fine. A lot of it's just going to be a reminder, but I'm talking to the meat, the core of the church, and I want to encourage you to be led and guided by the Holy Ghost in these next few days as we build up to that Christian holiday of Pentecost. And if you don't know, it's celebrated 50 days. Penta is 5 or 50. 50 days after Easter Sunday. It commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and other followers of Christ while they were in Jerusalem celebrating the Jewish day of Shavuot. The word Pentecost derives from the ancient Greek name for the Jewish feast. The event commemorated has been described by some Christians as the birthday of the church. Pentecost is when the church was introduced to the supernatural, unlike anything they had ever seen before. There were so many multitudes of miracles that took place on that day. We sometimes get tripped up with speaking in tongues, which is very important. The other all spoke in languages. But the bigger miracle was everybody that was there from different foreign nations heard their own language. And Peter stood and preached in his language, and everybody heard in their own language that marvelous sermon that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. And I believe it's our time to jump into the deep end of the supernatural. Relying on God. The supernatural, by the way, means of or relating to an order of existence beyond the visible, observable universe. That's what the supernatural means. Of or relating to an order of existence beyond the visible, observable universe. Especially of or relating to God departing from what is usual or normal, especially so as to appear to transcend the laws of nature. Supernatural. One of the things that made the early church functional and effective in its birth was the participation of many within the body that were used in the supernatural. We just finished the book of Acts. I mean, every chapter had the supernatural. If somebody wasn't bit by a snake, they had hankies laid on them. The shadows were cast on them, I mean, over and over again. The gifts that were distributed by the Holy Spirit were not put on the shelf, but employed. Agabus prophesying to Paul. Peter prophesying to the church when he preached. Paul prophesying. Signs, wonders, miracles that took place. The gifts that were distributed were employed. It was well known and documented that this was the avenue to introduce, establish, and continue the work of the Holy Ghost in His ongoing ministry with every believer. And I underscore every believer. God is interested in using every one of us. Rather than being amazed at the intervention of the supernatural, we need to walk in the expectation of the supernatural. It needs to be just as normal as our breathing, buttoning our shirt, tying our shoes, moving in the supernatural, being expected to see signs, wonders, and miracles every day. If we wait to special meetings or Sunday morning or Wednesday, the world will pass us by. The great giant of unbelief will continue to challenge us every day, and we'll be able to prophesy just like we have in years past. Same thing happens every day. But I say there's a day coming, and it's already here, that that will change. So again, I say it was well known to the early church and documented not only in the scriptures that we read, the Holy Book, but in history, where the church of the first century in 33, 34 AD all the way to 100 AD shook the world to introduce, establish, and continue the work of the Holy Ghost. When we walk in our daily lives and when we interact with others, we need to expect the unexpected and use the gifts that God has given us. Some of us were given gifts by the Lord years ago, and we are either afraid or been criticized or don't know if it will work. Just step out on faith. God will show up. God will show up. The rules concerning gifts are very few, but they're real. Number one rule about using a gift, to treat it as a gift. God gave it to you as a gift. You didn't have to earn it. You don't have to prove it. It belongs to God. He allows you to use it. Become familiar with it. Find out how it works. Read the directions. If you're prophetic, read about prophecy. Bible is full of prophetic words. If you're a teacher, read about teaching. Get into the Word. If you have mercy gifts, read the Gospels. There was no one more merciful than Jesus Christ. Be teachable, number three. Don't assume you have all you need. No matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, we can all learn something. And thank God for your gift. Be thankful. And ask Him every opportunity to use the gift and avoid a prideful attitude. Pride comes before a fall. Avoid a prideful attitude. Gifts can either build up or destroy. And we want them to build up the body of Christ and the unbeliever. You say it's very difficult to witness to somebody. I guarantee if you prophesy or heal them or do something of the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or any function of the gifts, that will cause their ears to open. It's like eardrops in a stuffed ear. If you just want to tell them stuff that's theory, anybody can do that. But if you move in the gifts, you'll catch their attention. And don't worry about confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Turn there with me. It's just a short verse, but I want you to look at it with your own beady little eyes. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You're being led by the Holy Spirit to speak. Peace will ensue. The ways of the Lord are peace and pleasantness. I told this story a while back, but I'll tell you again in case you forgot. I was in a conference out in Kansas City, Missouri back in 1991 with Mike Bickle. You might have know that name. He's still around. He heads the International House of Prayer that's been praying for the last 18 years nonstop. And we took a break. It was about 10:30 in the morning. And we took a break between speakers, and a man was manifesting. It was either man or woman. I'm sorry, I forget. But somebody was manifesting about three rows back from the front. They started writhing about and demonic, had demons. And so, of course, all the Pentecostals gathered around and shouted, tried to outshout one another. And the demon was just jumping around in this person and hurting them, hurting her, him, and throwing themselves around. I'll never forget this little guy walked over, reached down, and just said something in the ear, and he was delivered. I don't know what he said. I never asked him what he said, but the person was just stopped right there and was healed. Demon left. We have the authority of God. We don't need to have a three-ring circus. The ways of the Lord are peace and pleasantness. Jesus said to the demons, come out, shut up and come out. And they came out. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Don't worry about exercising the gifts. If you're hearing God, and only you know if you can hear God, pray. Spend time in the prayer closet. Spend time praying. Practice the presence of God. When I first started to be used in the prophetic, I would go to church and just wait for somebody to prophesy what God was telling me. It was probably wrong. I should have went ahead and spoke it. So many times, though, somebody would speak, and it's exactly what I was hearing from the Lord. So I was testing to see if I had prophecy or it was the pizza from the night before. 1 Corinthians 14:40 looked down about seven verses. It said, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, we need to redefine decent and order. Because when somebody's being delivered, it is anything but decent in the sense of proper. But we're looking for the freedom and the victory of God. When somebody's being healed, coming up out of wheelchairs and things, those things can be seem like they're disorderly, but we need to move in that. And the concerted effort of the group will drive the enemy all the way out. You'll notice when David killed Goliath, he just killed Goliath. The rest of the army rose up and chased all of the Philistines to the water. They didn't stop chasing them to the water. What changed between the morning when they got up and had their morning cup of coffee and said, here we go again, to the victory that they experienced that night? What changed? One thing. David killed Goliath. David killed Goliath. One thing happened. So tonight, if you'll allow me, I want to briefly review the working of the Holy Spirit in the area of gifts and put you in remembrance, put our knowledge into practice and put us in remembrance. What this will look like in your life will depend on how you yield to the Holy Spirit. So three passages I want to look at. The first passage I want to look at tonight is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And you're in a church that is just begging for you to be used in these gifts. Now, one of the things that we have to understand that when these gifts are used, they're open to adjustment. Amen? Come on. And we want to be teachable. We want to remember their gifts, but they're gifts to be used by the person that God asked to be used. Romans chapter 12, you can read the Romans 12, 1 through 5 later, but verse 6 says, having then gifts differing... Let's read it. We'll read the whole thing. Acts, Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 1. We'll begin in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our goal is the perfection of the saint. Our goal is being the perfect will of God so that we don't miss God at all. Amen? For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Say measure. We need each other. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Teaching, he who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So prophecy, not in the sense, we'll talk about prophecy in just a little bit as a gift of the Spirit. We'll cover again, but the prophetic bent in speaking and preaching and teaching. There are people that you talk to, and it is naturally out of their spirits begin to prophesy, even in their conversations. It's amazing. And there are gifted people here. You don't even realize you're prophesying. You need to stir that gift up in you. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. You're not showing off when you do that. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to use you and speak through you. Come on, someone. My car broke down. What's new? So I got battery cables and asked somebody to jump me, and the battery cables were put on, and I didn't hear one word from the battery cables that they were bragging that they had the power to start my car. It was a big GMC truck that they had, and they had their, you know, they had their battery, and I had my battery. It didn't work. It didn't start, but I never heard the battery cables say, look at us. We're the bomb. Aren't you glad we're here? No, I was glad for the other end of the GMC. We don't brag about being used of God. We're just the cables. God is the power, and whatever source, He's the source, and we're looking for the target. The target is the person or people we're ministering to. And we need to move from the mundane when we talk to each other. Sometimes we say, how are you feeling? Man, I've got a pain. Yeah, I know I've had that pain. Instead, man, lay hands on them. Lord, heal them. You see what I mean? We're the cables. God's the power. But anyway, there's people that are just prophetic and they're speaking and preaching and teaching. And we need to, you know, some of the elders here are just that gifted. And we're blessed. There are people within the rank and file that. And the next one is ministry. And ministry means serving others as Christ leads in helping and serving. That's serving in any manner of things. Praying for somebody, to the little things of getting them some water, helping them to their car, whatever ministry, doing that. Third one he talks about is teaching the gifts of breaking down the Word of God, making it applicable to everyday life. We can do that in our conversations. I had a conversation with one of the teens that came up and said, man, I wake up in the night and I see things in my room. I see spirits in my room and they're not Jesus. And I said, well, instead of putting them down and saying, well, you're dreaming, I said, man, you've got discernment. You maybe have discernment of the Spirit. Let's pray. Begin to talk to them about their being sensitive to the move of the Spirit. I mean, you know, that's real stuff. So teaching, and then he talks about exhortation, an anointed word of encouragement, and an attitude of faith and positive words that lift the spirits of the recipients. Get around somebody, you can't wipe the smile off their face. I mean, they're just always in a good mood. Bill's somebody that is just has a gift of exhortation. He's going to give you the good word. And so that's very important to the body of Christ, because, man, we get pummeled every day. We need those who have the gift of exhortation. It goes on and talks about the gift of giving. Not only money, time, talents, treasures, giving without effort, born on the wings of faith. Just somebody says, I can take care of that. I'll take care of that. Let me help you. Let me supply. You know, one of the blessings I have is serving with men of God. You know, I had a little bit of trouble with my car, and Kim came up to me. He's not here, so I can embarrass him. Laura, you're not supposed to say anything to him. But, he came up to me after church and said, hey, if you need, I got money and Tuesday off. If you need help with your car, just say so, and I'll go help you, whatever you need. And I thought that was pretty sweet. Gift of giving. He goes on to talk about leadership, the ability to see where the Lord is leading and help others to get there. There is piles of people in New Life. There's people here tonight. We have that leadership, these young people that are here tonight. We need to lead the younger folks that are coming up in the Lord. We need to remember that we're passing the baton. And then the gift of mercy, of course, treating others with the love of God and allowing them to recover from sins and shortcomings. It's easy to judge somebody. It's very difficult sometimes just to give them a whole lot of mercy. Just give them a whole lot of mercy. So that was the gifts of the Father. The Father gives those gifts. Secondly, I want to talk about the gifts of the Son. Those gifts given by Jesus for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Of course, just in rehearsal, apostle is one who is gifted to plant churches and set in leaders while overseeing growth and effectiveness. Essentially a missionary. A lot of missionary couples are apostles. Do you ever think of that? As they're going into a foreign country and ask to start a work a lot of times from scratch. How many know that takes the anointing of the Lord? Apostolic anointing. The prophetic, a prophet, one who is gifted to speak in the first person. Not just prophecy, but prophesying the mind of the Lord. Confirming the word, foretelling incidents that will come to pass, and identify current trends and leadings of the Holy Spirit. We're functioning in that. There are some budding prophets in our church, I believe a couple of them, that I'm praying for and working with. An evangelist is apostle, prophet, evangelist, one who is gifted in explaining the way of salvation in such a way as to lead others to Christ while being used in the gifts of the Spirit, training and equipping others in soul winning as well. Somebody else that's not here that we can embarrass is James and Amy. I believe they're gifted as evangelists. They need to be taught and coached how to teach others. They get a little excited and just say, let's go do it. But not everybody has their boldness. And sometimes boldness needs to be taught. Come on, someone. So we have evangelists in our group. And then pastoring is one who is gifted in preaching, teaching others, caring for them, and reflecting a shepherd's heart to protect, nurture, counsel, and assist them in their walk with God. You have elders here that have that pastoring gift. and then teacher, one that is effective in bringing clarification to the Word of God, making it applicable and relevant to the listener, the gifts of the Son. And then lastly and thirdly, the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, one of the things that I've been praying for is some discernment in the body right here. There are people that come here every Sunday that need deliverance. It's quiet in here. And they need our help. They need our help. They're prisoners of war. Well, here we see them every Sunday, so we kind of take for granted that the way they are here, the way, no, they're not. Their lives are not matching up. They need the gifts of the Spirit to be operative in their life. They get around the supernatural and they get set free. Come on, someone. They get set free from their sins. There's three categories in these. First, I'll talk about the revelation category. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation of the mind and purpose of God concerning the future. If we ever needed that, sometimes we talk in a big scale like where the world is going. I have no idea where England and France and Belgium and Italy, and I don't know where they're going. I don't live there. That's not my responsibility. How many know where my responsibility is? Right here in Rochester. I need to know what God's saying in Rochester and Fulton County in this area. I'm not big enough to believe or stupid enough to believe that God needs me to access all the keys to revival in the state of Indiana. He's got Christians everywhere in all the counties and all the little towns. There's people that God wants to use. That'll humble us. See? And see, if you talk big like that all the time, there's people that talk about where the world's going, and they sound pompous, they sound like they know what they're talking about, but nothing ever changes. A woman like Heidi Baker, whenever you hear her talk, she knows what she's talking about. But where did God call her? God called her to Mozambique, Africa. While others are bragging about all the things the world is doing, she's doing it. When they ask her, when they drag her out of the jungle to speak, she blows everybody away. She's speaking in Mozambique language. She's not speaking what the Holy Spirit's doing all over the world. She's living it where she is. And that's the thing that ruins all moves of God in modern times. We get somebody that's used of God in a powerful way in an area, and we take them and blow them up and make them write books and make them travel all over the world and talk about what God's doing. Stay where God puts you and do what you do and reproduce yourself and send them out, but stay there. Anybody there? Come on. What happened, and I've got proof positive. What happened to the apostles? What happened to the apostles? They all stayed in Jerusalem. We never heard from them again after a little tete-a-tete there with the blood and the thing and the deal and the James and the don't drink the blood, don't strangle him. We heard a little bit later in where Paul went to check with the disciples, he didn't even name them by name. They disappeared from history. They really didn't. If you read historical accounts, the apostles raised up the first generation, the Antonicene fathers, that birthed the next generation into 200 AD and 300 AD. They were effective, and the power that resonated from Jerusalem affected the known world for hundreds of years later. But where did they go? They stayed right in Jerusalem. Bloom where you're planted. Speak with authority about this area and let others come and visit. You're visiting, but I'm not going with you. I'm staying here because God's called me here. See? So a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, a word of knowledge, by the way, is a supernatural revelation of the mind and purpose of God concerning facts or events, past or present. Where? Right here. The Holy Spirit's big enough to give somebody the word of knowledge over in Timbuktu where it's none of my business. I believe in missions. I believe in going. I'm going to Mexico in a month or so. I'll be down there for a little bit, and we're going in December, and I believe that. But we go impregnate and come back. Because the authority rests in those that are resident there. Paul understood that when he went and raised up elders in the church. He went to visit them to make sure they were okay, and then he got the heck out of there. Word of knowledge. And then the third revelation gift is discerning of spirits. And boy, do we need that. My goodness. A supernatural revelation from God of the presence of activities of the spirit world, heavenly, human, or demonic. Sometimes we just have human beings that ate too much pizza. They tell us stuff that isn't true. They get us off chasing rabbits, and they're not good rabbits. Discerning of spirits. Boy, we need that. We need to understand that not everybody that speaks in perfect King James English or shouts in tongues is from the Lord. We need to discern the spirits. The spirit of a man is subject to the man. Amen? Or woman. Next is the power category in the gifts of the Spirit. First is faith. Faith is a supernatural demonstration of the ability to believe the impossible and see the invisible. Somebody that has faith that just says it's going to work out, it's going to be okay. They're very unsettling to be around. They offend very easy because they speak the mouth and the mind of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when somebody speaks words of faith, we want them to doubt like we do so we feel better. But they don't doubt. They just speak words and they make you very uncomfortable, especially when they correct you when you say something that's not faith-filled. No, don't say that, brother. That's not speaking words of faith. And you want to say, hey, you didn't teach me to speak. Somebody with a gift of faith needs to raise up in these days, and we're praying for that as well within the body. Gifts of healing, supernatural demonstrations of healing, usually occurring instantly. That's happened from time to time in this house, and we want to continue for the growth of that. And then the power category of working of miracles, supernatural demonstrations of power, causing the laws of nature to be suspended, altered, or modified. Get ready for Tom Scarella coming on June the 22nd through the 25th. You'll want to invite some people. He's being used in the gifts of healings as usual, but also there's been some working of miracles. If you've been on his website, if you've not, go on there and see some YouTube clips. There's some miracles that have been taking place in his ministry. He's just growing in that. I'm excited about him being here. I'm excited about being here. He'll be here Thursday night, Friday night at 7, Thursday night at 7, Friday night at 7, Saturday morning at 10, Saturday night at 7, Sunday morning at 9:30, and Sunday night at 7. He's going to hold meetings that entire weekend. Working of miracles. And then lastly is the utterance category. It's so very important that we hear the mind of the Lord. We go through waves here. We go through prophetic, and then we don't hear anything for weeks. Now we go through the prophetic. There's three or four words, somebody's maybe tongues, interpretation, and we get an idea where God's leading. And I've thought about that, and I've thought there's two reasons for that. One, we're not being obedient to the prophetic word, so God's not going to speak a whole lot more to us. Come on, somebody. God's not going to speak a whole lot more to us if He's speaking prophetic words and we're not obeying it. He's not going to repeat Himself, although He has a couple times. The other reason is we just get lazy. We fall into default. And what my prayer is change is not change until it's changed. My prayer is that we remember when we come in here, we're all coming as ministers of the gospel. One comes with a psalm, one with a hymn, one with a spiritual song. We all have roles that we play. We come in, we sit, the worship team does their thing. Somebody gets up and makes announcements. I get up and preach the word. We go back and eat a cookie and go home. It's routine. We need to break out of the routine and expect the unexpected. Remember, the supernatural is like anything else. It's like buttoning our shirt. We expect the supernatural. And I'll tell you what, if we expect the supernatural, God will not fail to fulfill our expectation. I have proof positive. The Word of God said He's able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or hope for. He is able. He doesn't need to be trained. He doesn't need to be begged. He just does it. And so that gift of prophecy needs to happen. And then the different kinds of tongues. I appreciate, I've forgotten her name. Linda. I appreciate Linda being obedient to the Lord, a real gift of the prophetic, also, or a gift of tongues. Also Joanne Alry, who's in California right now. Granddaughter's graduating. But a supernatural utterance inspired by God in an unknown tongue, unknown to the speaker. And I've got some great stories about that. I've told some of them. That's tremendous, tremendous gift that's needed more in the body of Christ now than ever. Than ever. I don't know how in the last 10 years we've gotten away from that. I remember going to church and expecting the unexpected, and the prophetic would come forth and tongues would come forth, and we would cancel everything just to be in the presence of the Lord. Our Bible college was like sitting on a dynamite. I mean, we'd go in. Every morning we had chapel, and we had a 30, 40-piece orchestra and two worship leaders every morning at 8:30. And we just live in that realm of expectation. And there's 2,500 students. So you get prophetic words coming forth. And man. And you forget classes. All day you'd be in the auditorium just in the presence of God. There wouldn't be any classes. I mean, the best class in the world is being in the presence of the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, that's Bible school. Well, that can be new life. We come with the expectation of throwing out the, okay, let's shake hands, let's go in, the worship team, the thing, the announcements, the deal, and the cookie, and let's go home. And we come and say, God, we expect you to show up. Somebody obeys God and prays in tongues, speaks in tongues, somebody interprets that tongue, and I go, man, just that is exactly what the Holy Spirit told me last night in the bed. And somebody gets up and gives a word of knowledge. There's someone here that was thinking about, and God wants you to know, then all of a sudden somebody has a gift of faith and say, I believe that's going to happen this week in your life. And lives begin to change. And so when we come in, we forget the cookie and the announcements, and we get in the presence of a holy God. Cookies are for Kroger's and announcements are for the screen. Come on, someone. This is life-changing things we're talking about. This is life and death when we get together. We'll change people's lives by our obedience. And of course, the interpretation of tongues. And I want to spend a little bit of time like that, because we misunderstand what the interpretation of tongues. You'll notice that the Holy Spirit's very careful to say interpret, not translate. We're not translating a tongue from the tongue into the English word for word. That would be the translation of that. We'd have to know that unknown tongue. No, the word of knowledge and wisdom works with interpretation of tongues, that we interpret what's being said. Like when somebody speaks in another language, they speak a whole paragraph and you tell everybody in English in one sentence what that whole paragraph said. Here's your interpretation. Run. Just came in from outside, there's a tornado 10 feet away, and they're speaking in Spanish, and somebody goes, here's what he said, run! That's the interpretation. A supernatural utterance inspired by God, which interprets the unknown tongue. Now you'll notice that everything I said, I used either the purpose or the inspiration of God. I don't know why God chose to use the gifts of the Spirit. Why not just come right out and say it? You know, if I were God, I'd just show up in all the churches every Sunday morning. He could do that. Call the meeting to order. I'm God. Here's what we're going to do this week. You go there, you go there, you go there, you go there, and come back next week and report back. I want you to know everybody would do exactly that. And what we need to see is beyond the flesh that you and I are looking at and see that that's exactly what God is doing. But He uses us. I don't know why He uses us. Get us out of the way, God. Just do what you're going to do. But He refuses. He made this thing. And some people just irritate the bugger out of me. I mean, just I don't want to hear from you. You irritate me. Come on, is there anybody? Come on, let's be honest. Sometimes somebody gives you the word of the Lord and you say, God, couldn't you use another vessel to tell me that? Why didn't you just speak to that in the dream when I'm in my PJs? Why'd you have to bring this guy to me? One of the most hinge point times in my life was when a guy came up to prophesy. My wife and I are standing in line getting prophetic and everybody's getting prophesied over it. And this guy came up and he was in the line and I didn't want him to touch me. I didn't like the guy. Even like the way he looked. I just got to be honest. It just irritated me, rubbed me. One of the personalities that just said, get away from me. Whatever's wrong with you, I don't want any part of. And he came up, laid his hand on my chest and changed my life. Changed the whole direction of my ministry by laying his hands on my chest and being obedient to the Lord. I even liked the guy. It didn't matter. The expectation of the Lord was, and I may have not received off somebody I liked. I mean, you can ask my wife. When he walked away, I turned and said, boy, he missed God by 1,000 miles. But that exact prophetic word came to pass in the next 2-3 years. Exactly what he said came to pass. Prophesied my future, and I walked in it and said it was impossible, and it was possible. That's the kind of expectation we need to live in here. Because despite what happens in Belgium and Saudi Arabia and North Korea and all those places, God's got Christians there. He's got people there. He's got angelicos there. He's got that covered. Yes, we intercede. Yes, we stand in the gap. But we need to pray right here. There are people dying, going to hell right here. We can't possibly know the things that they're facing over halfway across the globe. Somebody living there does. Let them take care of that. You ever think of that? The church sometimes, one of the wisest men in the world, Proverbs, Solomon said, getting involved in somebody else's business is like grabbing a dog by the ears. You ever grab a dog by the ears? No matter what you do, when you leave go, you're getting bit. No matter what you do, when you leave go of that thing, I don't care. The only way you can do that is have somebody stick a stake in front of their nose or something. You're getting bit. And we get involved in stuff that's none of our business. That's brought great peace upon me the last 6 months because, man, I used to be a news hound. And I wanted to know what was happening everywhere. And God just began to minister to me. I've got people to take care of that. You concentrate on what I called you to do. We can prophesy things. We can make problems here in America. I hear people all the time say, what's happening there is going to happen in America. Well, how do you know? Chased a rabbit, but it was a good rabbit. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. Pray for the church. On Sunday morning, we're going to come and see what happens. We're not making any plans. We're just going to come see what happens. Let's see what the Lord will do. Father, thank you for your holiness, your righteousness that you impart to us. Father, thank you for this leap of faith you're asking us to do. And it's not just in this meeting, but the next couple of weeks when Tom comes and ministers. Father, may this be the osmosis, the change, the acceleration of your giftings in this church that will jettison us into the future of your purposes for new life, for Rochester, for Fulton County, where you have us. Lord, it's not an accident that we're on this corner, in this area, for this time and this place. God, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for the gifts of the Son. We thank you for the gifts of the Father. Lord, and all I ask tonight, God, is that every one of us be attuned to the moving of your Spirit. Just like David was when he took the sling, began to swing it, Father, he knew exactly what the outcome would be. God, help us to know that the outcome is to put the enemy to flight and to bring in the harvest before that great day of reckoning that's coming faster than a locomotive. Lord, the end is near. So, Father, accelerate our wisdom and our knowledge and our passion that we may encompass your purpose for this area. All things done decently and in order, all things in your time, but Father, all things in the supernatural. Help us to leave the natural to the supernatural and walk in that as if that was our purpose. And it is, God. We thank you for your word. Make it come alive in us. I pray for each and every one of us, God, that we would live in that realm of expectation again. I don't care how old we are, God. I don't care how long it's been since we've saw or felt or moved in the power of the Spirit. May it come back to us as normal, everyday Christian life. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.